December 25, 1937. The Descent of the Divine Word. How He Left Heaven, While Still Remaining There. Prodigies of the Incarnation. The Beginning of the Feast of the Divine Will. How in His Divine Works He Puts Aside Human Ingratitude. The Grafting. How the love of Jesus paid for all and rescued us. I was following the acts of the divine volition, and my poor mind paused in the act of the descent of the divine word upon earth. My God! How many wonders, how many surprises of love, of power, of divine wisdom! They are so great and so many that one doesn't know where to start to tell them. My beloved Jesus, as if inundated in his sea of love that forms its waves, surprising me, said, "My blessed daughter, in my descent upon earth the wonders, the ardor of our love were so great and so many that neither angels nor creatures can understand all that our divinity operated in the mystery of my incarnation. You must know that our Supreme Being possesses its incessant motion by nature. If this motion could cease, even for an instant which cannot be, all things would remain paralyzed and with no life, because all things the life, the preservation and all that exists in heaven and on earth, everything depends on that motion. Therefore, in descending from heaven to earth, I, Word and Son of the Father, departed from our primary motion. I mean remaining, I left. The Father and the Holy Spirit descended with me, they were concurrent, neither did I do any act, if not together with them, and they still remained on the throne full of majesty, in the celestial regions. So, as I left, my immensity, my love and my power descended together with me. And my love, which is incredible and is not satisfied if it doesn't form, from my life, a life for each existing creature, not only did this, but it formed my life everywhere and in every place, multiplying it. Keeping my immensity and its power, my love filled it with many of my lives, so that everyone could have a life of mine for himself, and the divinity could have the glory and the honor of a divine life for as many things and creatures as we delivered to daylight. Ah! Our love repaid us for the work of creation. And by forming many of our lives, it not only repaid us, but it gave us even more than we had done. Our divinity remained enraptured, and felt a sweet enchantment in seeing the devices and stratagems of our love, in seeing so many of our lives being spread out, since our love used our own immensity as the circle in which to place them. Therefore, while my life was the center, my immensity and power were the circumference in which these innumerable lives were being deposited. These lives could find everything in everyone, and offered themselves to love us and to be loved. I remained surprised in hearing this, and my sweet Jesus, not giving me time, immediately yielded, "My daughter, don't be surprised. When we operate, we do complete works, so that nobody can ever say, single quote, he didn't do this for me. His life is not all my own." Ah, love cannot arise when things are not one's own and are not kept within one's power. And then, isn't this what the Son also does, work created by us in becoming light for the eyes, to the extent of filling them completely with light, and being, at the same time, light full and entire for the hand that works, for the step that walks? In this way, everyone created things and creatures can say, "The Son is mine." While the center of the Son is in the heart of the atmosphere, its light departs and remains. With its circle of light it invests the earth and becomes light for everyone, even for the little flower and the tiny blade of grass. The sun is not life. It has light, and light it gives, together with all the goods contained in its light. Our divinity is life, the author and life of all. Therefore, in descending from heaven to earth I had to do complete acts, and more than sun, show off my life, multiplying it into many lives, so that heaven, earth and everyone could possess my life. Otherwise, it would not have been a work worthy of our wisdom and of our infinite love. Jesus remained silent, and I continued to think about the birth of little baby Jesus. And he added, "Little daughter of my will, The feast of my birth was the feast, the beginning of the feast of my divine will. As the angels were singing, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to the men of good will," all angels and the creation assumed a festive mode and, while celebrating my birth, they celebrated the feast of my divine will. In fact, with my birth, our divinity received true glory unto the highest heavens. And men will have the true peace, when they will recognize my will, giving it dominion and allowing it to reign. Only then, will they feel my will as good, will they feel the divine strength. Only then, will heaven and earth sing together, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to the men who will possess the divine will." All will abound in these men, and they will possess the true peace. So, I continued to think of the birth of the little King Jesus, and I said to him, "Nis little baby, tell me, what did you do when you saw the great human ingratitude to your great love?" And Jesus, "My daughter, if I had taken into account the human ingratitude to my great love, I would have taken the way to go back to heaven. But I would have saddened and embittered my love, and turned the feast into mourning. So, would you like to know what I do in my greatest works in order to make them more beautiful? With pomp and with the greatest show of my love, I put everything aside, human ingratitude, sins, miseries, weaknesses, and I give course to my greatest works, as if those things did not exist. If I had wanted to care about the evils of man, I couldn't have done great works, or put all my love on the field. I would have remained hampered, suffocated in my own love. Instead, in order to be free in my works, and to make them as beautiful as I can, I place everything aside and, if necessary, I cover everything with my love, so that I see nothing but my love and my will. I move forward with my greatest works, and I perform them as if nobody had offended me. For our glory, nothing can be lacking to our decorum, to the beauty and the greatness of our works. This is why I would want that you, too, did not occupy yourselves with your weaknesses, your evils and your troubles. In fact, the more the creature thinks about those, the weaker she feels, and the more the poor one feels drowned by evils, while her miseries press round her more strongly. By thinking about it, weakness feeds more weakness, and the poor creature falls even more. Evils become stronger, miseries reduce her to starvation. But if she doesn't think about them, they disappear by themselves. Good is completely the opposite. One good feeds another good, one act of love calls for more love. One abandonment in my will makes her feel the new divine life within herself. Therefore, thinking of good forms the food and the strength to do more good. This is why I want your thinking to be occupied by nothing other than loving me and living in my will. My love will burn all your miseries and all your evils, and my divine volition will become your life, using your miseries as the base on which to raise its throne. Then, I continued to think about the little newborn Jesus, and oh, how it broke my heart seeing him crying, sobbing, wailing and shivering with cold. I wanted to place one I love yo of mine for each pain and each tear of the divine little one, to warm him and to calm his crying. And Jesus added, "My daughter, I can feel one who lives in my will in my tears and in my wailing. I feel her flowing in my crying sobs and in the shivering of my tiny limbs. By virtue of my will that she possesses, she turns the tears into smiles, and the sobs into heavenly joys. With her love dirges, she warms me and changes the pains into kisses and hugs. Even more, know that one who lives in my will receives continuous grafts of all that my humanity does. If I think, I graft her thoughts. If I speak and pray, I graft her word. If I work, I graft her hands. There is nothing of what I do that does not form a graft for the creature, to make of her the repetition of my life. Even more so, since my divine will is in her, and I can find my power, my sanctity and my very life, to do whatever I want with her. How many prodigies can I not do, when I find my will in the creature? I came on earth to cover everything with my love, to drown the very evils, and to burn everything with my love. By justice, I wanted to repay my father, because it was right for him to be restored in his honor, in the glory, in the love and in the gratitude that everyone owed him so, my love couldn't find peace. It fills the gaps of his glory and of his honor. To the extent that, through love, it repaid the divinity who had created a heaven, a sun, a wind, a sea, a flowery earth, and all the rest, while man had uttered not even one thank you for the so many goods he had received. He had been the true thief, the ungrateful, the usurper of our goods. My love ran and ran in order to fill the abysses of distance between the Creator and the creature. It paid my celestial father through love, and through love it bought back the human generations, to give back to them the life of my divine will, having already formed many lives from it, as their ransom. And when my love pays, the value is such that it can afford to pay for everyone, and to buy back whatever it wants. Therefore, you have already been purchased by my love. So, let me enjoy you, and possess you. Fiat.